A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this prompt, and it's basically a cry for help from someone who lives in headphones 12 hours a day. He's been using a clip-on speaker that works like a walkie-talkie handset, excellent microphone pickup, but zero privacy since everyone around you hears everything. Before that, the classic mono Bluetooth headset, the taxi driver special, but those get uncomfortable fast. Battery life is the real killer here. His clip-on dies after 4 hours. He's looking for the unicorn. One device, all day, comfortable, great microphone, won't give up after lunch. What actually exists for that use pattern?
This is one of those questions where the constraints are doing all the work. 12 hours a day, combined speaker and microphone, comfortable enough to forget you're wearing it, battery that outlasts your shift. The moment you stack those requirements, the market shrinks to basically nothing. Most consumer audio gear is designed for a 2-hour commute and a gym session.
The ergonomics of disappointment?
And the clip-on speaker thing he's using. I know the category. They're essentially body-worn public address systems. Great for dictation, great for voice commands, terrible for anyone sitting next to you on a bus. The fundamental trade-off is that a speaker that's loud enough to hear clearly is also loud enough for everyone in a 3-foot radius to follow your entire conversation.
Which means Daniel's current setup is basically a podcast for his coworkers.
Unintentional live broadcasting. So let's break down what's actually on the market that approaches this use case. Because the answer isn't one product, it's a set of compromises, and you pick which compromise hurts least.
Before you do that, I want to flag something that prompt gestures at that most reviews completely miss. He says, at that level of usage, whether the microphone is decent or actually really good makes a vast difference. 12 hours of marginally better audio isn't marginal anymore.
That's the right way to think about it. A microphone that's 10% better for a 30-minute call is barely noticeable. Over 12 hours of continuous use, that 10% improvement is the difference between your conversation partners feeling engaged or feeling exhausted. Bad microphone audio creates what audio engineers call listening fatigue. Your brain works harder to parse the signal, and after enough exposure, people unconsciously start avoiding calls with you.
The social cost of sounding like you're calling from inside a tin can.
It's measurable. There's research from the telecom world showing that call duration drops measurably when one party has poor microphone quality. Not because anyone consciously thinks this sounds bad, but because the extra cognitive load makes conversations feel like work.
The microphone isn't a nice to have. It's the thing that determines whether people actually want to talk to you.
Now let's map the actual product landscape, because there are about 5 categories that touch this use case, and none of them nail it.
Walk me through them.
Category 1 is the traditional mono Bluetooth headset, the Plantronix, the Jabra, the thing you see on every delivery driver and taxi operator. These have evolved a lot. The current generation from companies like Blue Parrot and Jabra have models with boom microphones that extend toward your mouth, multi-point Bluetooth so they connect to 2 devices simultaneously, and battery life that genuinely hits 12 to 15 hours of talk time. The Blue Parrot B55WXT, for instance, is rated at 24 hours of talk time. That's a full day plus a shift.
It's the ergonomic equivalent of clamping a plastic lobster to your ear.
That's the trade-off. The over-the-head band with the ear cushion. It's stable, it's secure, but after hour 4, the pressure point on your ear cartilage starts to ache. Some people develop actual soreness. The single-ear design also means you're blocking one ear partially, which affects spatial awareness. In an office, that's annoying. If you're moving around, it's a safety issue.
The microphone quality on those?
Surprisingly good on the higher-end models. The Blue Parrot line uses noise cancellation that's specifically tuned for vehicle cabin noise and wind. They're designed for truckers doing 70 miles an hour with the window down. In a quiet room, the microphone is broadcast quality adjacent, not studio, but clean enough that no one's going to complain. The boom arm puts the microphone element physically closer to your mouth, which is the single biggest factor in microphone quality. Physics doesn't care about your digital signal processing. Get the mic closer to the source.
The Trucker headset solves battery and microphone, but fails on comfort and the I don't want to look like I'm about to dispatch a taxi factor.
Category 2 is the neckband speaker. This is where Daniel's clip-on lives, but the category has gotten better. Devices like the Sony SRS NB10 or the Bose Soundwear Companion. These sit around your neck, fire sound upward toward your ears, and have built-in microphones. They're designed for all-day wear. The weight sits on your shoulders, not your ears. Comfort is dramatically better than any ear-mounted solution.
The privacy problem is worse than headphones, not better.
It's the defining flaw. Neckband speakers use what's essentially a personal sound system. The audio is directed upward, but it's still a speaker. Anyone within a few feet can hear your call. In a private office, fine. In an open-plan workspace, you're the person everyone resents. In public, you're functionally on speakerphone.
The musical equivalent of beige wallpaper that somehow still manages to offend everyone.
The microphones on these are hit or miss. The Sony model uses beamforming microphones that try to isolate your voice, but because the mic array is on your collarbone, not near your mouth, it's fighting physics. In a quiet room, it's acceptable. In any ambient noise, the quality degrades fast. Daniel's clip-on probably has a better microphone precisely because he's holding it closer to his mouth, even though it looks like a walkie-talkie from 1995.
Neckband solves comfort, fails privacy, and microphone consistency.
Category 3 is true wireless earbuds, AirPods, Galaxy Buds, Sony WF-1000XM series, Jabra Elite. These have gotten remarkably good. The newest generation from late 2025 and early 2026 has pushed battery life to around 8 hours of continuous listening, with the charging case extending that to 30 plus hours of total use. Microphone quality on the premium models has improved enormously. The latest AirPods Pro generation uses computational audio that's impressive for a device that fits in your ear canal.
8 hours isn't 12.
That's the hard ceiling. Even with the best battery chemistry in the world, you're fitting a cell into something the size of a jelly bean. The physics of energy density mean you're not getting to 12 hours of continuous talk time without a case recharge. The charging case is brilliant for intermittent use. Pop them in for 15 minutes during a coffee break and you get another couple hours. But for continuous 12-hour use, you're going to have at least one dead air period where you're charging. The microphone on true wireless buds is inherently compromised by distance. The mic element is in your ear or on the stem near your cheek. It's not near your mouth. The signal processing has to do enormous work to extract clean voice from ambient noise, and the result is that classic phone call from earbuds, sound, compressed, slightly robotic, passable, but never excellent. Apple has pushed this further than anyone with the latest AirPods Pro, using the H3 chip to do real-time voice isolation, but it's still not a boom mic 6 inches from your mouth.
Earbuds solve comfort and privacy, partially solve battery, and lose on microphone quality.
Category 4 is the one that's closest to what Daniel's asking for, but almost nobody knows about, the professional broadcast headset category. Think of what sports commentators wear, or what you see on esports broadcasts. These are over-ear headsets with boom microphones designed for all-day wear. Companies like Audio-Technica, Sennheiser, and Beyer Dynamic make models in this space. The Audio-Technica BPHS-1, for example, is a broadcast stereo headset with a dynamic cardioid microphone on a flexible boom. The ear cups are designed for hours of continuous wear with plush padding and relatively low clamping force.
These are wired, aren't they?
That's the catch. The professional broadcast category is overwhelmingly wired. XLR connectors, quarter-inch jacks, sometimes USB. They're designed for a fixed position, a commentary booth, a streaming desk. The wireless versions that do exist, like the Sennheiser HMD series with wireless transmitter packs, cost north of $1,000 and use proprietary wireless systems, not Bluetooth. They're phenomenal. 20 plus hours of battery, broadcast quality audio in both directions. But they're not pocketable, they're not subtle, and they require a belt pack transmitter.
They solve everything except the part where you have to walk around looking like you're about to call a football game.
Category 5 is the hybrid that's emerged in the last 18 months, the open-air wearable with a boom mic. This is where the market is actually innovating in ways that matter for this use case. Devices like the Shox OpenCom series use bone conduction or directional speakers that sit just in front of your ear, leaving your ear canal completely open. The microphone is on a small boom arm. The battery life on the OpenCom 2, which launched in late 2024, is 16 hours of talk time. That's a genuine full-day device.
That's the thing where the audio vibrates through your skull.
Through your cheekbones, technically. The transducer sits on your temporal bone just in front of your ear. It vibrates at frequencies that your cochlea picks up as sound, but because your ear canal is completely open, you hear the world around you perfectly. For someone who needs situational awareness, and Daniel mentioned he's often moving around, this is a genuine advantage.
What does it sound like?
That's the honest part. Bone conduction audio quality for music is mediocre. The frequency response is limited, the bass is anemic, and anything above about 10 kHz gets muddy. But for voice, for phone calls and podcasts and meetings, it's actually excellent. The human voice sits right in the frequency range where bone conduction performs best. Speech intelligibility is high. And because your ears are open, you don't get that head in a fishbowl sensation that closed headphones create during long calls. The OpenCom 2 uses a noise-canceling boom microphone with what Shox calls a dual noise-canceling sensor, one acoustic, one that detects vibration from your voice through your cheek. The combination means it can distinguish between your voice and background noise with surprising accuracy. It's not broadcast quality, but it's the best microphone in the open-ear category by a meaningful margin. Multiple reviewers have noted that callers can't tell they're on a headset, which is the real-world benchmark that matters.
This is the thing that gets closest to the unicorn.
It's the closest single product I can point to. 16 hours of talk time, open air comfort, decent microphone, weighs about 30 grams, and you could wear it for a full day without fatigue. The open ear design means there's no pressure on your ear canal, no heat buildup, no clamping force. For 12-hour daily use, that comfort factor is probably the most important variable, because if a device hurts after hour 3, it doesn't matter how good the battery is.
The Shox are the sensible shoes of the headset world. Not glamorous, but your feet don't hurt at the end of the day.
And sensible shoes are underrated when you're on your feet for 12 hours. The other open-ear option worth mentioning is the Oladance OWS series, which uses air conduction rather than bone conduction, tiny speakers that hover just outside your ear canal. The Oladance EWS Pro claims 16 hours of battery for audio playback, but the microphone is integrated into the body of the earbud, not on a boom, so you lose the microphone advantage.
Air conduction sounds like a fancy way of saying tiny speaker near your ear.
That's all it is, but the acoustic physics are interesting. Because the speaker is physically separated from your ear, you get a more natural soundstage than bone conduction. The trade-off is that the microphone quality is mediocre, and at higher volumes, there's sound leakage. Not as much as a neckband speaker, but enough that someone sitting next to you in a quiet room will hear your call.
We've got 5 categories, and the bone conduction headset with a boom mic is the closest match. But I want to go back to something the prompt mentions that I think is being under-discussed in the whole product design conversation. The physics are hard. He acknowledges this. Fitting a 12-hour battery into something small enough to work comfortably is a non-trivial engineering problem. But I wonder if the real failure here isn't technical. It's that the market doesn't believe anyone actually uses a headset for 12 hours straight.
That's a sharp point. The consumer market designs for intermittent use, a call here, a podcast there, some music between meetings. The professional market designs for continuous use, but it's wired and expensive and assumes you're at a desk. The person who needs all-day wireless headset use while moving around is a gap in the product matrix.
The trucker market comes closest, and that's revealing. The trucker headset exists because there's a clear economic incentive. A long-haul driver who can't take calls is losing money. The device is ugly and uncomfortable because the buyer values reliability and battery life over aesthetics and comfort. The product evolved to serve the use case exactly.
The office worker who spends 12 hours on calls doesn't have a product category because the market has been slow to recognize that always-on audio is becoming a default work mode, not a niche. The pandemic normalized continuous video calls, but the hardware hasn't caught up to the behavior.
This is the ergonomic gap. We've got software that assumes you're always available, and hardware that assumes you're occasionally available.
Let me add one more product that's worth mentioning because it takes a completely different approach, the head-worn microphone with a separate earpiece. This is the theater and broadcast solution. You wear a tiny omnidirectional microphone on a thin boom that curves around your cheek, connected to a wireless transmitter pack on your belt, and you have a separate earpiece for monitoring. Companies like Countryman and DPA make microphones in this category that are essentially invisible on camera, weigh almost nothing, and produce professional audio.
Now you're wearing a belt pack and an earpiece and a microphone, and the whole system costs as much as a used car.
It's overkill for phone calls, but it solves the physics problem by separating the components. The microphone can be tiny and positioned perfectly because it doesn't need to contain a battery or a transmitter. The battery lives on your belt where size and weight don't matter. The earpiece can be whatever you find comfortable.
The modular approach. Instead of one device that does everything poorly, three devices that each do one thing well.
There's a consumer version of this modular approach that's getting traction in the office headset market, the Yealink WH6 series and the Jabra Engage line. These are decked wireless headsets with a base station that connects to your computer or phone. The headset itself is lightweight because the radio and battery management are optimized for a single use case. The Jabra Engage 75, for instance, has a range of 150 meters, 13 hours of talk time, and a boom microphone with what Jabra calls a professional-grade noise-canceling microphone system.
DE-sect instead of Bluetooth. That's the cordless phone standard.
DECT operates in a dedicated frequency band, 1.9 GHz in Europe, 1.92 GHz in the US, so there's no interference from Wi-Fi and Bluetooth devices. The audio quality is consistently better than Bluetooth for voice because the bandwidth is dedicated and the protocol is optimized for two-way conversation rather than music streaming. The trade-off is that you need a base station, so it's not truly mobile. But if Daniel is mostly working from a home office or a fixed workspace, a DE-set headset with a boom mic solves almost every requirement he listed.
Except the walk around anywhere part.
The base station is the anchor. You can roam within 150 meters, but you can't take it to a coffee shop.
The decision tree for Daniel is basically, if he's stationary most of the day, deck headset with a boom mic. If he's mobile, bone conduction, Bluetooth headset with a boom mic. And if microphone quality is the absolute top priority, he's looking at a wired broadcast headset or a professional wireless system.
There's one more branch on that tree that we haven't talked about. The single-ear decked headset, the modern version of the taxi driver mono headset, but actually good. The Jabra Engage 55 is a mono DE-secte headset that weighs 18 grams, has a boom microphone, and gets up to 13 hours of talk time. It's designed for contact center workers who are on calls all day. The single-ear design means you maintain situational awareness, and because it's DECT-T, the audio quality is a step above Bluetooth.
That's less than a AA battery.
It's nothing. You forget you're wearing it. The earhook design distributes the weight so there's no pressure point. Contact center workers wear these for 8-hour shifts, 5 days a week, and the ergonomics have been refined over decades of iterative design.
The call center industry has quietly solved the comfort problem because they have an economic incentive to do so. If the headset hurts, people quit.
The contact center churn rate is something like 30 to 40% annually, and equipment discomfort is a measurable contributor. When you're buying headsets for 10,000 employees, you care deeply about whether people can wear them for a full shift. The consumer market doesn't have that feedback loop.
The Jabra Engage 55 is the sensible shoes version of the mono headset. But is the microphone actually good?
The microphone on the Engage series uses a noise-canceling system that's been refined over multiple generations. The boom arm positions the mic element about 2 inches from the corner of your mouth. That's the sweet spot. Close enough for strong signal, far enough to avoid plosives and breath noise. The noise cancellation is tuned for office environments, keyboard noise, HVAC hum, nearby conversations. It's not going to match a large diaphragm condenser microphone, but for voice calls, it's in the top tier of wireless headsets.
The prompt asks for a recommendation. If you had to give Daniel one device to try first, what's your pick?
If he's mostly stationary during his 12-hour days, I point him to the Jabra Engage 55 or 75, the DE-sec models with the boom microphone. The audio quality in both directions is excellent. The battery life covers a full extended shift, and the ergonomics are designed for exactly this use pattern. The DESEC base station means he's not draining his phone's Bluetooth radio all day, which is a secondary benefit that matters over 12 hours.
If he's mobile.
The Shoke's OpenCom 2. 16 hours of talk time, open ear comfort that works for all day wear, and a microphone that outperforms anything else in the bone conduction category. The trade-off is that it's Bluetooth, so audio quality won't match DECT, and the open ear design means he'll hear ambient noise during calls, which can be a feature or a bug depending on his environment.
What about just going fully wired? A good pair of IEMs, in-ear monitors with an inline microphone?
That's the sleeper option that nobody talks about because it's not wireless and it's not exciting. A pair of something like the Edomotic ER4 XR with a custom cable that has a high-quality inline microphone, the microphone element from a company like Shure or Rode integrated into the cable. You get studio-quality audio in your ears, a microphone that's positioned at chest level but with a good enough element to sound clean, and zero battery anxiety because it's powered by the phone. The comfort depends on the ear tips. Custom molded tips are a game changer for all day wear, but they're a few hundred dollars and require an audiologist visit.
Custom molded ear tips. That's the headphone equivalent of bespoke shoes.
Once you've worn them, you can't go back. The comfort difference is enormous. No pressure points, no hot spots, no gradual creep out of your ear canal. They stay put for 12 hours without adjustment. For someone who's truly serious about all day audio, custom IEMs with a good inline microphone might be the most elegant solution, even though it means being tethered to a device.
The tether is the deal breaker for a lot of people, but the prompt doesn't actually say wireless is a hard requirement. It says the clip-on feels ridiculous and the Bluetooth headsets are uncomfortable. Wired with custom tips solves the comfort problem completely.
It solves the battery problem by eliminating it. The phone provides power over the headphone jack or USB-C port, and modern phones have enough battery to drive IEMs for 12 hours without breaking a sweat. The microphone quality depends entirely on the inline module you choose, but there are options from Rode and Shure that use the same microphone capsules as their entry-level broadcast microphones.
I want to circle back to something you said earlier about the market, not believing in 12-hour users. There's a deeper point here about how product design assumes a certain kind of day.
The 8-hour workday with breaks.
The 9-to-5 with a lunch break and coffee breaks and meetings that happen in conference rooms, not on headsets. The product design assumes you're taking the headset off regularly. The battery only needs to cover the longest stretch between breaks, not the whole day. But the actual work pattern for a lot of people now is continuous partial attention. You're on a call. Then you're listening to a podcast while doing email. Then you're on another call, and the headset never comes off because the transition cost of taking it off and putting it back on is higher than just leaving it on.
The always on ear. And that's a new behavior pattern. 10 years ago, a headset was a tool you picked up for a specific task and put down when the task was done. Now it's more like glasses, something you put on in the morning and take off at night.
Which means the comfort requirement changes category. It's not comfortable for a 2-hour call. It's comfortable enough to forget you're wearing it.
That's why the open ear designs are so interesting for this use case. The Shoke's approach, the Ola Dance approach, even the neckband speakers, they're all trying to solve the forget you're wearing it problem by not occluding your ear. The sensation of having something in or on your ear is the thing that creates fatigue over long periods. If you can deliver audio without that sensation, you've changed the comfort equation fundamentally.
The ideal device disappears.
The ideal device is a Star Trek comm badge. It's on your chest, it picks up your voice perfectly, it delivers audio to you and only you, and you never think about it. We're not there. But the bone conduction headset with a boom mic is closer to that ideal than anything else in the consumer market right now.
What about the new generation of smart glasses? The Meta Ray-Ban glasses have speakers and microphones built into the frames.
I was going to bring those up. The second generation Ray-Bans, which came out in late 2023, have improved speakers and a 5-microphone array. The audio quality for the wearer is surprisingly good because the speakers fire downward into your ears from the temple arms. The microphone array uses beamforming to isolate your voice. Battery life is the limitation. About 4 hours of continuous use for calls, and the charging case gives you about 36 hours total with intermittent charging.
That's the same problem as the clip-on.
The microphone quality, while improved, isn't matching a boom mic. The beamforming array is impressive for something built into glasses, but it's still picking up your voice from your face rather than from near your mouth. In a quiet room, it's fine. In any ambient noise, the quality degrades noticeably.
Smart glasses are the category that's closest to the ComBadge ideal in form factor, but furthest from it in battery life and microphone quality.
The trajectory matters, though. The first generation glasses had terrible battery life. The second generation doubled it. The third generation, whenever it arrives, might push toward 8 hours. The microphone array will keep improving. In 5 years, smart glasses might be the obvious answer to this prompt. Today, they're not.
Which brings us back to the practical recommendation. If Daniel's reading this, well, listening to this, and he wants to buy one thing this week that gets him closest to the 12-hour unicorn, you're saying it's either the Jabra Engage if he's stationary, or the Shox OpenCom if he's mobile.
With an honorable mention for custom IEMs, with a good inline microphone if he's willing to be wired. That's the dark horse pick that costs more up front, but might be the most satisfying long-term solution.
The clip-on walkie-talkie thing he's currently using?
Keep it in a drawer for situations where microphone quality is the absolute top priority and privacy doesn't matter. It's not a bad device. The microphone is good, as he noted, but it's a specialized tool, not an all-day companion.
The right tool for the wrong day.
And I think the broader point worth making is that the person who uses a headset for 12 hours a day is an edge case that the market treats as a rounding error, but it's actually a preview of where a lot of knowledge work is heading. The hardware gap is real, and the people who feel it most acutely are the ones whose work depends on being intelligible for hours at a stretch.
The canary in the ergonomic coal mine.
The canary is currently wearing a walkie-talkie on its collar.
That's a mental image. All right. I think we've mapped this territory pretty thoroughly. Let's land the plane with a fun fact and get out of here.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the late Victorian period, a British colonial administrator stationed on São Tomé e Príncipe recorded the only known first-hand account of a tidal bore surging up the island's Rio do Ouro, describing it as a wall of foam that arrived without warning and reversed the river's flow for nearly 3 minutes. The manuscript sat uncatalogued in the Lisbon archive until a hydrologist stumbled across it in 1987 while researching Atlantic estuary dynamics.
3 minutes of a river running backwards. That feels like a metaphor for something, but I'm not sure what. If you're spending 12 hours a day with something strapped to your head, it's worth getting it right. The Jabra Engage and the Shox OpenCom are two very different paths to the same goal. Maybe try both and return the one that hurts.
If you found something that works for the all-day audio life that we didn't mention, we'd love to hear about it. The product category is moving fast, and the best recommendation might be something that launched 3 months ago.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for keeping the ship pointed vaguely forward. This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at myweirdprompts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back with something else entirely.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.